Hey, everyone. A big thanks goes out to my good friend Ron Brown. I was really excited to have him on. College football season's in full swing, so he's definitely someone you want to check out. This week's episode, The Haunted Wood, with David Ludick. He is a young man who created this thing from when he was a fourth grader, and he's been doing it for 7 years. It's become this really big thing, so I'm just going to go ahead and get right into it. So listen to some production music that I'm probably not supposed to use and really has nothing to do with Ohio. And then on the other side of that, we're going to get into The Haunted Wood. Enjoy.
There it is. We're ready and off to go.
Will it hear me? I mean, yeah. With all this background noise? Wow.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I mean, we'll pick up the background noise without question. But, I mean, this is a bootleg operation anyway.
Okay.
It's just something I'm doing as a project, so
okay.
It's fun.
Okay.
But David Benchoff, thank you. Or do you go by...
David Ludick.
Thank you for joining us. We're here at Life in Northeast Ohio podcast, and you are the creator of The Haunted Wood. And this is the time of year... For The Haunted Wood.
Yes, without a doubt. Halloween, you know, actually all time is the year for The Haunted Wood. I started this in January of this year, getting everything ready, starting buying things, making a budget, and now it's October, and I wish I started 2 Octobers ago.
Oh, man. It's grown exponentially over the last couple of years, because when I saw it last year, it was in your backyard.
Yes.
And it's grown since then?
Yes. We are one of the fastest growing haunted houses in Ohio. We're recognized by Haunt World and the International Haunt Association of America. So we've really gone from, you know, something that I just do in my spare time to almost a full career. As I tell my friends nowadays, school is just something I do between my other projects.
That's fantastic. And you're what, a junior?
Yes.
You're a junior in high school. That's amazing. So I know your mom. She said, hey, come see my son's haunted house. It's in our backyard. And I'm like, okay, sure, I'll see the haunted house, whatever. And then we went back there finally last year, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this thing is fantastic.
Well, thank you.
I mean, it beats a lot of the ones I used to go when I was much younger, but it was really, like, I guess you could say the production values were extremely high for a backyard operation.
And we really try to do that. We try to take the customer and immerse them in a story, which I haven't seen other haunted houses do. I mean, I've traveled all over the state, and no haunted house has what The Haunted Wood can do. I mean, sure, we might not, you know, be in a giant warehouse with, you know, huge marketing, but we make up for it in our story, and people seem to really be able to relate to that.
Well, most of the haunted houses, I think, people go to are just like these various small stages of scare. You know, walk 10 feet, there's a little room, it's dark, boo. But yours, actually, there's a narrative to it. Can you tell us about the storyline?
Yeah, this year we actually opted away from what we've done in years past, was we would have a guide go through the haunted wood with each group. We took that away this year so that we could focus on more actors, because during a casting process we found out that we had so many good actors who were able to improvise the storyline, we actually diverted away from the guide. The story is, this year, Mr. Malcolm, the evil serial killer who lives in the haunted wood, has recently escaped from prison after his last year's endeavors of killing. And he and the guests must gather information that the police can use to help track him down. And it turns out that throughout meeting all of his monsters and minions and victims, you actually come face to face with Mr. Malcolm.
Oh, so there, it's almost like the big boss battle at the end
of
a video game.
Exactly.
That's really, really cool. How did you arrive upon the idea to, you know, not only just to make this haunted house and push it beyond your backyard, but there had to have been some sort of, like, I really like going to haunted houses. This is what I would do differently. Mm-hmm. How did you arrive at that sort of, like...
Well, really what happened was I was bored in an afternoon with my friends when I was in fourth grade, and we didn't have a car, we couldn't drive. We wanted to go to a haunted house but couldn't, so we made one. And instead of thinking this is what other haunted houses do, we thought if this were a play or something like that, how would the actors react and how would they act with the audience. And we, the first thing we do each year instead of designing the set is we design the story, and then we design how we're going to tell that story and then build the set, where other haunted houses says, we want a clown room. So they build a clown room and put a doorway so a clown can jump out.
That's fantastic. So it was really, I love the picture of a couple of fourth graders sitting around a table. If we're going to do this, how will we do it differently? No, it's like a stage play.
Yeah.
I love that.
It was really, you know, just me and my friend, we were just thinking, like, we don't know anything about business or haunted houses, but we were both in theater, so we said, we're going to do it like a stage play instead.
Now, have you been doing the Haunted Wood consistently since then?
Yes, every year since fourth grade.
Are your friends still involved?
Yes, they are.
That's fantastic. I know that last year I was able to see, I don't know if any other haunted house does this, but you had the cast warm up. Can you talk a little bit about that process?
Mm-hmm. Every day after the mobsters check in, do their, get their makeup on, get their costume on, we do various things. Last thing we do is something called Go Bananas, which is simply a chant where what half of the group goes, go bananas, go, go bananas, in rhythm, and the other one goes, go, go bananas, and it's almost a fight to see who can get louder. And they seem to get into that, and it seems to get them energized. Then we take them to their spots, a tech guy does a run through, and then I do a run through with all the actors, make sure that they know what they're supposed to do. And I mean, besides what we do just on before we open, we work for months with the actors, making sure that they know their part and what they're supposed to do.
How do you go about casting a monster?
First thing we look for is size, obviously, and bigger is not necessarily better. Some of our best monsters are actually women or small girls who can just scream very loudly. You need a couple big guys, you know, and they typically are the ones who play Mr. Malcolm. But you also, besides size, we look at acting ability and how they're trained. We use something called the Stanislavski technique.
Can you describe that?
Basis of Stanislavski says, do the action and the feelings will come of their own accord. It's in contrast to what you see in a lot of movies about making plays where an actor will say, what's my motivation?
Paycheck?
Exactly. Stanislavski says, don't think about your motivation. Use past experiences that you've had and think about that while you're doing your action. And it will show throughout your performance.
I have a hard time imagining that. I mean, other haunted houses have gone through the audition process and actually warm-ups and actually, like, theory of acting that go into this. How much of that, was that something you started right away when you, I don't know, you started going fourth graders, we need to use the Stanislavski effect in this. But when did the real performance value and the production value start to enter in your process when you created this?
I would say about 3 years ago when I started getting real serious about it. This is our seventh year, and it was about 3 years ago that I was able to meet some of the actors that we have this year who were so talented. And I felt that if I couldn't make them better actors that they already were, I would be letting them down. So I did the research and found out, you know, what I thought would be the best technique for the haunted house and came across the Stanislavski technique.
And how have they taken to that? I mean, have you had any resistance? Like, sure, I'll be a monster. And all of a sudden someone's in there learning all these acting techniques and they're, you know, let's do these warm-ups now, folks.
You know, the amazing thing is they haven't. When we pick our monsters, we think, I mean, as Tina Fey said, never cast anyone you wouldn't want to see at 3 o'clock in the morning working with. I mean, we do have late nights working with these kids. But none of them have ever said, I'm not doing this, I just want to put on a mask and scare people. Every single person has said, I want to be the best monster that I can be.
Have you been to any other haunted houses since you created?
Yes, I have been to just about every haunted house in Northeast Ohio.
That's pretty cool. I used to go to, you know, the last one I went to was the Haunted Factory, which I had to admit, I was like, okay, this is pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. That's a very, you know, that's a Guinness Book World Records now. They've been going back and forth. That, I actually went to that a couple weeks ago, and that is a great haunted house.
Yeah, it really is. The one that got me was the, when you're in line, and then there's the digital doorway. With the lady in the end of that.
I like the guy on the giant, I guess, swing set or bungee cord that would leap out and get right in your face and then swing back.
Yeah, I haven't been there. I must not have been there last year. Okay. Last year was the first time I went. I had gone.
See,
I went to
yours,
and I went to that one.
Yeah, I just went to that a couple weeks ago. It was fantastic.
What was the audition process like? Have you turned people away?
Yes. We have had some people that said we're not sure it's going to work out. We don't like to do that. I mean, obviously, we want, you know, as many monsters as we can, because there's no such thing as too many. But sometimes people just aren't willing to put in the work, and we have to say, you know, things like that.
Have you had maybe veterans from other haunted houses come in and go, wait, I'm not just putting on a mask. What do I have to do now?
Yeah. In fact, we do. And at first they're kind of wondering, like, I guess I can try this, I don't know how it works, and then in the end they go, I cannot believe how much better I am at scaring people. I mean, by thinking a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And it has very little to do, you know, what angle you come in from or how loud you can scream, which is what a lot of people think. It's really how good your performance is.
Additionally, where did you decide, do you think this is more of a theater thing for you, or more of a fan of the horror genre? Where does all this come from?
I would say it's more of a theater thing, because when I started this in fourth grade, my parents didn't let me watch horror movies.
Oh, really?
I knew nothing about the horror genre. I had seen two horror movies. I had seen Frankenstein, Mary Shelley, the original from like the 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this B-horror film about a vampire pirate, which was the lamest horror film I've ever seen. And I just did it because I watched it because I love pirates.
What was the name of it? Do you remember?
I can't even remember.
Vampire pirate.
It was bizarre.
At least they don't just drink.
I mean, they had no lighting, so they shot it in, like, the Bahamas to add to the pirate thing. And
don't have lighting, you said.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, it wasn't dark or scary. So it's the theater, and it wasn't until after doing this a couple years that I thought, you know, I need to see what other people are doing. And now I can say I've seen, you know, every Alfred Hitchcock and all those amazing horror people.
So, when you're talking about the horror genre, which is it that you prefer? Because I wonder if there's some sort of disconnect now that you're doing the straight scare. Do you prefer more psychological stuff now? Because it seems like with the Haunted Wood, Mr. Malcolm, you're trying to actually include some of that psychological stuff in this haunted house.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of aspects of horror genre that we try to use. And a lot of haunted houses, you'll notice, right now the big thing is to have, you know, a slaughterhouse or something like that where you have pigs and a whole bunch of gore. And I don't mind that at all. But you can't make an entire haunted house with that. At the same time, you can't have werewolves in one room and then go down a hallway and you have a slaughterhouse. That's not going to make sense in the story. So you need to find a way to incorporate everything while still having good flow. So the way we do it is, you know, Mr. Malcolm's here somewhere, but you don't know where when you get to his house specifically, when you go through his house. And there's a bunch of dead bodies and dead animals and things like that. So while you're seeing all this gore, there's loud music, there's fog, so you're disoriented. And you're also thinking, Mr. Malcolm could be anywhere in this. So you've got three things in the back of your head, and they're all toying with you, and I think that's the most powerful way to scare people.
That's impressive. Can you kind of break down the anatomy of building a certain scene? And I mean, having not gone through it this year, last year it was, you know, like most haunted houses, it seemed just like, okay, hallway, room of fright, hallway, room of fright. How do you go about building that scene? What is its anatomy?
Well, instead of building a scene, which is what a lot of haunted houses do, we rebuild everything each year. We take everything down every night, in fact, and rebuild it every night. Which is, you know, takes a while. Luckily, we know it doesn't change overnight. What we do is we say, what's our storyline going to be? We decide that, and we say, we want it to start here and end here. How do we set the story in the first scene? And in this case, it's, we need an attention grabber. So we put pyrotechnics. A guy shoots sparks from his hands. That'll grab the audience's attention. Not necessarily scary, just impressive. The guy's a freaking mask, kind of gives you a little bit of a lowdown. And that's basically the first scene. It's not a whole lot. And then when we get to Mr. Malcolm's scene, per se, let's say, okay, this needs to be the grand finale, so what are we going to have? We decide on the song that we want to convey the emotion. And then we say, okay, what... we want Mr. Malcolm to do this at this point. What do we build around him to make that scare better?
Okay, so it's, you're almost working backwards.
Exactly.
Grand finale's here, and we need to like set little scares in between there.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to actually construct a story, build the props, or, you know, build your sets and all that, but it's another thing to do what you have done with this, which is you've taken this out of your backyard, and now it's where?
At Kiwanis Moore Park in Aurora, Ohio.
Yeah, and it's now, you've got sponsors, you've got, you're basically, it's your Hudson's official haunted house, or Aurora's official haunted house, or haunted wood,
yeah, presented by the city of Aurora.
So now, it's now a business. I mean, it was before, but it was just kind of like, hey, come to my haunted house, $2, but you've moved this into something, a brand new territory.
Mm-hmm.
When did you make the decision to do that?
Well, I have to give a lot of credit to that to Jim Krause. He is head of the rec department here in Aurora. And he went through the haunted house in my backyard and was very impressed and said, you know, Hudson does this and other cities have haunted houses. And what I went through was better than any haunted house I've ever been to. And there's not a whole lot to do in Aurora for kids, so let's try to get a haunted house together. So we did. We went to the rec board at City Council. Initially, we asked if they would fund it. They said no, they didn't want to fund it, but they would be okay with us having a haunted house. And then I said, I don't have the money to front a haunted house, so I said I'm going to need sponsors. So I went and found sponsors, and then they said, now that you have the sponsor money, feel free to use the park. And I put a down payment on the park and insurance, and that was around... See, we started this process in around January, and I think we got the okay in, let's see, maybe late June.
Wow, no. Good 6 months.
No, not late June. No. Like August was about when we got
it. Took almost 8 months to get this approved.
Mm-hmm.
Bureaucracy at its finest, which, you know, at that point, you're scrambling, I would assume.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the hardest part was getting sponsors because sponsors are saying, let me get this straight. We are supposed to give a 17-year-old money for a haunted house that used to be in his backyard that we have never seen before that may or may not go into a city park.
How do you enter in that conversation with somebody?
Well, basically, I started and I said, went to businesses of some of the monsters' parents and talked to them. And, you know, they were a little reluctant and they said, I mean, I guess I can, be a small sponsor. And luckily, the newspaper covers the rec board meetings, and a local radio show host, Bob Early, who does Rockin' on the River, heard about it and said that a radio station would like to sponsor.
Oh, that's...
So, so that they were one of our biggest sponsors. And after, you have a major radio station jump on, other, smaller businesses are more willing to risk their money.
How have you used internet to help push your site or push your haunted wood?
Facebook is, amazing. It's so easy, all of the monsters have a requirement to ask their friends and stuff like that. All of our banners, we try to put hauntedwood.com on them. TheHauntedWood.com, I'm sorry. The internet, I mean, you really need a good website in the haunt business. And there's a lot of haunted houses that open without a website thinking it's not important that fail in just a year. Because a customer has to be able to look at your site and say, I want to go to this haunted house instead of this haunted house from the website. I mean, if I'm with equal distance between haunted house A, B, and C, the Haunted Wood needs, the website needs to be better than A, B, and C to get them to come to the Haunted Wood instead of A, B, and C.
Do you do that yourself as well?
Yes. Yes, I do. But my friend and stage manager, Patrick Loudon, he does the graphics. So I put it all in, but he does all the graphics and stuff.
Do you have any, like, funny stories you wanted to tell about your years?
I have so many funny stories.
Well, please do tell.
Well, this year, opening night, we were really pressed for time because it was a Thursday night. So since there was a homecoming game across the street. And so I get off school at about 11 o'clock and don't have to be back until about 12:40. So I skipped my lunch, went over to the park, started setting things up. After school, went back there. I'm setting all this stuff up, didn't have lunch. And I threw up two times, cut my pinky open. Real bad, with a razor blade from my wrist up to my pinky. And after that, we've decided to have something called a Hall of Meat, where every night, instead of announcing Monster of the Night, we also say, who has the Hall of Meat, who suffered the worst. Another funny story we've had is my stage manager, or no, my morale officer, Ryan Dudziak, was one time in a chair with a whole bunch of dummies and made it look like he was a dummy and the dummy was an actual person. So they couldn't tell which was the actual person, which one was the dummy. And he was supposed to pop out and a mechanism on his pants got stuck in the chair. And so as he goes to lift up the chair, it gets caught on a rope that held up the disorienting tunnel. The disorienting tunnel, which is basically, you know, made out of tarps and aluminum siding, topples over. Luckily, no one was in it. The chair goes flying forward, clips him at the back of the leg, and the group is just standing there looking. And instead of thinking, oh my gosh, you know, the tunnel just came down, they said, I cannot believe the special effects of this haunted house for a backyard operation. They have collapsing buildings, they have, this is just remarkable. So a lot of things like that. Nothing, you know, really insane, you know, no fires or anything like that. But we have definitely had nights where it's just like, you know, come on.
Serendipitous technical difficulties.
Yes, yes.
The best kind, I suppose.
Oh, yes, yes.
So how long are you going to run? Just till Halloween?
We're going to run every Friday and Saturday in October, in addition to Halloween night.
Still fun?
Every night. It's, you know, when we're setting up, we're thinking, you know, is this worth it? You know, you get there at 3, you're not set up till about 7:45, and we open at 8. And you're thinking, is this worth all the work? And then you're scaring people and you're saying, you know, I wish, there's nothing I'd rather be doing. And you think that when the entire time you're taking things down at the end of the night, you're thinking, that was remarkable in every way.
Love. Last year, you were a guide. Now, are you jumping in as a monster this year?
Yes, I am. I have a couple other duties as well. I have to make sure that all the monsters are comfortable, get them water and stuff. I have to communicate with the ticket booth to tell them when it's okay to send people in, and security to make sure, you know, people are behaving the way they should. Mm-hmm. So in addition to monster, you know, I have a lot of other duties.
Do you think you'll be back next year?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
That's great. What do you think, is there something that in the Haunted Wood that you would love to try? something, is there a grander vision? Because you've already pushed it from your backyard to now it's an official haunted house, and as you say, you're recognized by, what was the organization you recognized?
Haunt World. They are the world's largest collection of haunted houses in the country.
That's amazing.
So they
recognize you now.
Yes.
So I guess, forgive me for digressing, what do you want to try next?
What I want to try is, my ultimate dream for the Haunted Wood is actually to franchise it so that I can share the story of the Haunted Wood with people all over the world. Because I think that we have something really special here, and a lot of people put effort into it, trying to get this story to a point where, you know, it's entertaining. Even if, you know, you weren't in the haunted house, you could say, that's an interesting story that could be made into a play or a movie, just to share that. I'd also like to go to an indoor location and have a half-indoor, half-outdoor haunted house, just because set up, you know, we've had nights where it's 2 degrees outside, snowing, and the monsters really don't like, you know, when they have to lay down in the snow for long periods of time. So I think, even though I love the outdoor location, a lot of my monsters don't. So I think it'd be nice, you know, to have a little bit of an indoor section, you know, so they could warm up and stuff.
Yeah, especially, you know, you don't know what you're going to get this time of year in Northeast Ohio. What about scenery sets, special effects, more technology? What would you like to include?
I am a firm believer in that actors are more important than a lot of the scenes. At the same time, you also have to know that actors feed off the energy of the props and the sets and the special effects, and that's really what's drawn people in. So you can have the best actors in the world, but if they're just in an open field with nowhere to pop out and nothing to interact with, you're going to have the worst haunted house. So I think it would be great to have some more animatronics. Actors seem to love to interact with animatronics. People like them. They seem to bring people in. So I think next year what we'll do is probably update some of the animatronics we have, make them a little bit better, and additionally get some new ones as well.
Outstanding. I have to say, you know, last year when your mom told me, you got to come check this out, it's my son's haunted house in our backyard, like I said before, I was like, yeah, okay, this will be cute. Mm-hmm. And then when I got there, I was blown away by what I saw. It's not hyperbole at all. And I'm really looking forward to seeing it this week. It's a really great success story. It really is. To something, especially that it just came from a bunch of kids who wouldn't let it go. Mm-hmm. And just kept building it and kept building it and kept building it. So the final question I do want to ask you is, what do you love best about Northeast Ohio? Same question I ask all of my guests.
What do I love about Northeast Ohio? You know, I think there's a lot of things that people overlook when they come to Northeast Ohio. Yes, we have, you know, a horrible basketball team, a horrible football team, and, you know, on some years, a horrible baseball team, but the people
here... Not so much this year, luckily.
Not too bad, but the people in Northeast Ohio are fighters and thinkers, and that is shown in the haunted house every day. I have people who you would never think would, you know, want to lay down in the snow, happily do it, you know, without even having to ask twice. So I think the determination of the Northeastern Ohio people is phenomenal.
It's probably the best answer I've had. But you're right, there is something about being scared and scaring someone that it's like a primal urge that we have that's kind of hard to escape. And I think that is a thrill to a lot of people. And it's funny, I have been to a few haunted houses where they have all the glowing lights and all the technology, and then you see the monster guy just rawr, you know, he doesn't do much.
It's a fizzle. It's, you know, if you think about it, I always like to think of my haunted house on a cone. Each scare, it should start with something very small, a small little dot, and then get larger and larger and larger in scare factor, and then the monster will jump out. And then start that and gradually get bigger as the haunted house goes on, where a lot of them it's, you know, it starts like, wow, you've got fire effects over there and animatronics over there, and then it fizzles out at the end with the actor.
You know, one question I did forget to ask you that I wanted to ask, one of the reasons that you've created your own sort of thing to kind of stay away from licensing issues and all of that, or is that just how it developed?
I really am against using licensed characters, not because there's, you know, legal aspects, but because when you play the Halloween soundtrack in a haunted house, the patron will think of the Halloween movie, and you might not want the emotion that is associated with that movie. You want to create your own emotion, and actors want to create their own character, because if you have a Jason who doesn't act like Jason, the patron will think, well, that wasn't believable, that wasn't Jason. Well, the actor's like, I just don't want to pantomime Jason the entire time.
That's interesting, because you're almost giving the actors a sense to create their own character, where, I mean, if you're playing the Halloween theme in a haunted house, it's almost like a wrestler's entrance theme. You're expecting Jason to come out. You're mm-hmm. expecting Michael Myers to show up all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. And then when he shows up, you've seen him so many different times that it's like, hey, there he is. It's like it's just the obligatory Michael Myers appearance. Whereas if you're creating your own monsters like you have, you really don't know what to expect.
Exactly. And, I mean, it's been done before. I mean, I have never been to a haunted house without a licensed character until I went to the Haunted Wood. And every single time I saw a licensed character, I'd think, Freddy Krueger, it's been done before. I mean...
No, that's true.
I mean, it's just something that we try to stay away from. And not once has someone said, I liked the Haunted Wood, but there was no Jason, or but there was no Freddy.
Yeah, and you know, it's what they've done with some of those characters and so many iterations of Freddy and Jason mm-hmm. that they've become kind of pop culture punchlines. Mm-hmm. So, well, the initial scare, like, oh, there he is, he startled me because he jumped out of a closet door, but then you see Freddy and you're like, ah, you're that
it's
funny,
Freddy.
Quippy guy, you make all these jokes.
He's the guy who cut off the head and threw it in a trash can and said, nothing but neck, you know?
Yeah.
What's so great about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's become, they're
13 movies
scary.
Later, it's stale.
Right, I mean, and that's part of the thing where, obviously, within the horror genre, there's this whole move towards the psychological horror movie. And they, you know, let's face it, the scariest parts of the movies are when you're not seeing the monster, you're not seeing the serial
killer. I like to think of, people find this strange, the three scariest movies I've have ever seen. One is The Black Cauldron by Disney. Just because when I was 5 years old, was insanely afraid of the Horned King. And that's because in the opening scene, you hear this maniacal voice and all these people, you know, they're shaking. I don't think I've ever seen the Horned King in my life, but just the reactions of the people freaked me out. The second would be the Wizard of Oz VHS tape, because the THX surround sound logo comes out of the black and just go, ooh, kind of popped out and scared me. The third is The Silence of the Lambs.
Oh my gosh, that is
my all-time favorite horror movie. Then the final scene where Jodie Foster has the nightmare, is being watched by the serial killer in the 3D, green goggles, the night vision goggles. I mean, if you can watch that scene without thinking, Jodie, move, he's right behind you, and actually feeling a sense of worriness for Jodie Foster, I mean, I've never experienced someone who hasn't been able to say, that scene is terrifying.
You know, one of the best scenes in that movie is the actual first appearance of Hannibal Lecter with Anthony Hopkins, when she's walking down the hallway of all the...
hello, Curries.
Yeah, but when it's right there, but when she's walking past all the other inmates, and they're like... your typical disheveled, kind of gross, disgusting lunatics. And then as they pan across, like they have the camera on the train, he's standing like very at attention but at ease, perfectly combed hair with a pleasant smile on his face. And you're like, and right away you're like, oh,
you
man.
Know, Anthony Hopkins is one of my favorite actors. And that was the first movie I ever saw of him. And that was actually one of the first years after seeing that movie, I said, we need to take this more seriously. Anthony Hopkins gets how to scare people. He only blinks three times in that entire movie, just that initial stare and the way he delivers his lines. And what he did, you know, to get into the mindset of that role is just amazing. An example I like to use in about talking about my monsters, at one point Hannibal Lecter starts making fun of Jodie Foster's accent. Well, Jodie Foster initially, I mean, that is her actual accent in that movie. She's not covering it up. And Anthony Hopkins didn't tell her that, you know, he was going to make fun of it. And her reaction on her face is shock and anger because she was mad at Anthony for making fun of, you know, her accent.
That's funny.
And then later on, backstage at the Academy Awards after she had won her Oscar, she said, you know, thank you for doing that because I don't think I would have won this award if it wasn't for that extra effort from you.
And shoot, maybe that'll happen. Maybe this is where The Hunted would lead some of your actors. I mean,
I would love that, you know. I would love for an actor of mine to be able, you know, to accept an Oscar, accept an award, and say, you know, in their thank yous, even though no one likes to hear them, just to say, I'd also really like to appreciate all the people at The Haunted Wood and Mr. Malcolm for putting me here.
Do you think you'd like to shoot a short film about this?
I've thought about it, and I've always thought it'd be cool to have something while people are waiting in line to show them. But I wouldn't want an actual story just because I'd be afraid that it'd turn into Jason or Michael Myers.
I see what you mean.
You know,
it's
I saw
what you're fighting
short film.
Against.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but your answer about the best thing about Northeast Ohio is the best I've had.
Really?
David Ludic, thank you so much for joining us.
Not
I know you're so insanely busy, so I was so happy to be able to finally sit
problem.
Down with you.
It was fantastic.
And thanks very much, and until next time, enjoy life in Northeast Ohio.